only the essentials.
Just the essentials.
I only brought the essentials.
I never leave home without all the essentials.
You're listening to Pop Culture Essentials, your guide to the latest movies.
I love this movie.
Oh, I love this movie.
Games. TV.
What else?
Streaming.
Chrissy, wake up!
In pop culture news.
Pop culture and current events.
So sit back, relax,
and let your host, Dallas star Nick and Pete, take you through this week's Pop Culture Essentials.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Essentials. We are here this week with Nick.
Oh, hello.
And Peter.
Oh, what? Hello.
I think because you've got rid of your facial hair, you're now a Peter.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's go with that explanation.
Yeah, it does take a few years off. So
I was just like, are you in trouble? I feel like you get called Peter when it's professional and or in trouble. Because I feel I only call you Pete these days. I'm like, hey Pete.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Rare to be called.
It's like me being called Nicholas. Like I don't
Nicholas.
Care, right?
Nicola LaBarro.
So we are here to talk about this week's big new, I'm going to say $1 billion film.
Ooh.
Fast X.
Okay.
Or, so I don't get in trouble from Universal, Fast 10.
Oh, did they?
We were told to clarify and use both.
Okay.
Sure.
Interesting.
People care that much. so we have all seen the film. Initial thoughts, Pete? How is Fast X for you?
I mean, I love this series. I'm aware that some of those movies are not great. I don't fucking care. It's really, really fun. And I was already on board with this because of obviously a certain casting addition. That is Jason Momoa. And if people know me, they know that Jason Momoa is probably my hall pass at this point.
I don't even think probably is the word to put.
All right, all right. He's
your
definitely whore my
whore pass.
Pass. Yes, my whore pass because I'm a whore. So I was already on board. I didn't care how ridiculous it was going to be. And then obviously I heard going into this, there was already sort of mixed words of if some of it was saying, some people were saying it was dog shit. Some people were saying it was actually great. But across the board, it was that Momoa was the best thing about this film. So I went into it and I had a great time. I was like, I turned to Nick multiple times and I was
multiple
just like,
I was like,
I love it. This is great. And he is fantastic. And that's not me being biased. He's actually, incredible in this film. He ramps it up. He's very aware that he's in a Fast and Furious movie. And I think they've just gone, Jason, do whatever you want. I'm pretty sure it's his wardrobe this whole entire movie with his scrunchies and everything. Yes. He's absolutely hilarious. He's terrifying as well. Like some of the scenes that he did were like, oh, you're legitimately unhinged. Yes, the film is very long. A lot of the action sequences make no sense. But I was invested. The way this film ends, pretty ballsy move. I'm all here for number 11. If we get number 12, why the fuck not? But, you know, at $340 million budget, this has got to be a billion-dollar movie because it'd be really funny if it actually flopped and we didn't get number 11 and it just ended like this.
Can you imagine?
And obviously, when you see it, you'll know what we're talking about when we say the way this ends, you need number 11. All in very short story. I fucking loved this movie. It was great.
Nick, what did you think of Fast X?
I think I'm gonna echo a lot of Pete's sentiments. I had a lot of fun with this. I think number 8. So obviously the franchise was completely revitalized with number 5, right? It just became these international espionage action blockbusters. 5 is great. 6 is good. 7 is great. 8 is boring. 9 was better than 8, but I still felt like it was a little too self-serious. I think the fun that was missing in especially number 8 and a bit of number 9 was really in this movie. I think that I will say this. Momoa is a big part of that. Momoa is by far the best part of the film. Any scene that didn't have him, actually no, I'll say this. Any scene that had Vin Diesel were the worst parts of the movie because they were the self-serious really overly soap opera dramatic moments. And you need those in a fast movie. Don't get me wrong. But I think if they were played with a little less sincerity, you can be like, okay, this is like so melodramatic. I'll let it happen. But he always has these little nuggets of wisdom, these ridiculous one-liners about what it means to be a family or what it means to be a man. And they just don't make any, not that they don't make sense, but they just don't fit then the scene that happens next where Tyrese has a one-liner for every single like moment he's in, or the fact that a thing that looks like a nuclear bomb is rolling towards the Vatican, or like, you know what I mean? Like, there is so much ridiculous stuff in this movie that is a lot of fun that is just sort of hindered by how self-serious Vin Diesel is about it. So I think there is a lot more fun to be had with this. There's so much action. It is genuinely, I would say out of its 2-hour and 20-minute runtime, a solid hour and a half of it is action. Do they all meddle into like one thing and you can't really remember a lot of the action? Sure, I will give you that. But overall, I think it's action-packed, a lot of fun, where if Momoa wasn't in this movie, I think it would have felt a lot like Number 9.
Mm.
How about you, Alistair? I know you may have differing opinions based on tweets I've read.
I don't want to be the Fast X curmudgeon.
Fast 10, sorry.
This felt like a Number 2.
Ooh.
It did not do as anything.
As in it felt like shit?
Yes.
Right, okay.
That's what I was trying to do.
I don't know. Thanks, because we have a second Fast movie, and I was like, does it feel like Too Fast, Too Furious? No. 10 Fast, 10 Furious.
Oh, God. It's like, for me, the only good parts were Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
John Cena.
Mm.
Cena, who is that? John Cena.
The brother.
And Brie Larson. Those were the three. Every time they were there, they were in it. They knew what they were doing. They were winking along. It was great. Everyone else, just, you don't need to be here.
There's a lot of people.
This is ridiculous.
A lot of people.
There's a lot of mingling storylines that seem to just, the editing is terrible. I can't even call it a movie because the editing is that bad. It doesn't seamlessly integrate from one to the next. It's just like someone has a project open in InDesign, and instead of applying a transition, they just let it run. And it just felt off.
There were definitely scenes that felt like the two people who were in the scene together were probably not there together on the day of shooting. And that's, I mean, like, there are so many big stars in this movie that makes sense. But I agree, like, it doesn't feel overly well put together.
Or it was like, hey, we've got to do this in one take, and we're all going to lunch in 3 minutes. Go.
I and will say
they were just like, that... game recognizes game. Bang. Okay, we're done. Cool.
I will say, though, the way that they integrated Number 5 into it was well done. Like, that actually seemed like it actually looked like Momoa was, like, in those scenes.
Yeah,
like, that was really
that
well done.
Yeah. That was the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. And one thing that, like, goes with that, like, obviously, Jason Statham is very briefly in this. Like, he's actually not a major player. But I love that. If you look at, like, I know that these characters are meant to be, if they start off as villains or they start off as adversaries, they all end up coming together anyway because you can't resist the family. But I love that every single movie that Jason Statham is in, he plays a different version of Shaw. His character
really has
from each movie to the next, you're just like, okay, you're in here and you're a villain most of the time, but then you're villain to different. It's just like, yeah. But I did like that. Where I'm guessing his character's going is Number 11 is kind of going after his own family, and I think that's kind of cool. Like the way this sets
up. Or
is
that
going to
be Hobbs and Shaw 2?
Maybe. And I'm all for it because obviously, look, we can say it. We know that Mr. Johnson is back in this series.
As it was leaked, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, commenting on that, with other people who have had, let's just say, superhero films that they no longer are in anymore, and may have been in the Fast and Furious franchise before. Let's just say all roads lead back to Fast and Furious. All roads lead back to Daddy Vin is what we should be saying about this. But Statham's scene to me was, I remember Pete turned to me at one point, he's like, Jason Statham hasn't been in this yet. And like, looked at my clock and it's been like an hour and a half already. And I was like, oh shit. That was the one thing with this movie that I kept going. And like, as much as I love this movie, I will also say with Alistair, I was like, it's not a good movie. It's not well put together, but it's entertaining. It's incredibly entertaining. Every time someone came on screen, I was like, oh shit, I forgot they were in this movie. And they may have been in the movie half an hour earlier, but like the whole Michelle Rodriguez, Charlize Theron stuff, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot they were in this. And then John Cena pops up with little B, and I'm like, oh yeah, John Cena. John Cena, who, let's not forget, was a villain in the last film, was a deadpan serious villain, and is now the goofball of Fast 10. it's wild. This movie's wild, but I had a smile on my face the whole time. Like, it was just that ridiculous. I know Louis Leterrier, I believe how you pronounce it, is credited as the director of this film. How much of it he actually had control over and directed, I have no idea, because this movie definitely felt directorless. Like, that's what I would say. It felt completely out of control.
It just, felt like we've got all these characters, all these scenes mapped out on a scene board, and we just need to try and fit them in under 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and then this has to happen. So if you're, I guess, my takeaway was, if you're into this franchise, you're going to love it.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely.
If you're being dragged along like me and you've tapped in and out of the series and you're like, I really don't care, you will hate most of this, as I did.
Like, if you've stuck with it all this long, there's no reason that this will be the one that you're like, oh, all right, Fast and Furious has finally jumped the shark. Like, if you've stuck with it this long, this will probably be one that you'll go, oh, I'm glad that the series is like not back to where it was, because look, 5 and 7 are pretty peak cinema.
Yeah.
But it's back to like not taking itself as seriously. And you know what? If we could get rid of Vin Diesel, my God, this would be a perfect action film.
But you gotta keep the family together. What did you think of the Vatican scene, Alistair?
Do you know what? I liked it.
It's fun, hey.
It was what it needed at that point, because I was like, oh, Rita Moreno, yay.
Oh my God, yeah, I forgot she was in there.
Yeah, and then
she's,
you're gone.
Great.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, and then I thought it was a good setting for it, rather than just, keeping it in America. It was funny.
Keeping it in like nondescript location, warehouse. Sort of. Like, it actually had a little bit of, and a lot of those practical stakes.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of those practical effects of like the cars exploding and flipping. You can tell like they're on wires getting thrown around. Yeah. I was like, that's cool. A lot of the action was cool. And as ridiculous as the climax of that action scene gets, there are two of the best shots of the movie are in that scene. The one with Jason Momoa standing on the bridge with his arms out like Jesus as the shockwave.
So
Sensor, but then I realized after watching the trailer again last night after I got home, it's a shot in the trailer, but in the context of the film, it's even better. And it's after, like, slight spoiler, but there's some destruction caused to Rome after their big car chase there, understatement maybe. And there's a fire happening in the background near the Colosseum, and this this song plays, this really really subdued, mellow R&B song, I guess. And Vin Diesel stands up, back turned to the camera in front of the Colosseum, slow motion turns to face the camera as fire blazes in the Colosseum behind him. And then he slow motion walks towards the camera. And I pissed myself laughing, because I'm like, that would have been played with such sincerity by Vin Diesel. But that is the stupid drama we need for a movie like this. I don't need scenes later on of like Vin Diesel barely opening his eyes going like, do you know what drifting can teach you a little bit about life? Like, I don't need that. But I need more of that, of standing in front of a burning coliseum in slow motion. That's what I want. This movie's fucking wild.
True. It's, yeah, I think I looked at my watch about four times during this movie and went, oh my God, it's been 10 minutes.
I definitely did that towards the beginning, yeah. Especially when it's going where back are we and going? Forth a lot. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Oh, the beginning, it definitely, to me, took, like, that opening sequence with playing number five, adding the mower into it. That was great.
Great.
Then there's, like, that sort of maybe, I feel like, 15 to 20 minutes where it's like Vin Diesel at home and it's like they're having the barbecue, they're having all that sort of shit. I'm like,
I want
this to speed up because I'm here for the action. And then Momoa, like every time Momoa's on screen, you're just like, yes, this is great. Then Alan Ritchson and Brie Larson basically like explaining the series. I was like, that's
I needed that. So and, that helped
and,
me.
But and I said that like Brie Larson. I think it's Brie Larson who says it, how she's like, how did we let it go on this long? And that's very much them basically like looking at the audience going, we know we're at 10 movies. Who would have thought it, right?
I do love when, because Alice has said, Brie Larson's great. And like you said, Pete, Alan Ritchson's great. I think they're actually both fantastic additions to this. But when Richson says, what, so all you need is a barbecue and a beer and you become an international fugitive, I was like, that's hilarious. Like, true. They show all the people who have been law enforcement, like Paul Walker as Brian was law enforcement, Dwayne Johnson as Hobbs, John Cena, have all gone from being police or, like, military to working with these international criminals. It is fantastic. That scene is brilliant. So much exposition, but done so just with so it's so coy is what it is. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And we talked a little bit before about John Cena being the villain. Where do you think Jason Momoa stands in the history of Fast and the Furious villains?
I had this thought during the movie and I think he might be my favorite because firstly he's the first villain in a while that has made like his motive has made sense. Like he is the son of his father died because of Dom in Fast Five. So that's already motive enough for me. And he spent his life trying to make boys now dedicated to making Toretto's suffer. But simply just on how unhinged he is, but still being terrifying. Like he has one of the funniest moments of the film is I will only say his interaction with two dead bodies. Like that scene is,
oh my God,
funny, so funny. But then you break down, it's like, oh my God, that's fucked up. Like this guy is disturbing, but he's incredibly funny. His camp little things, like Pete and I were laughing at, like when he when there's all the guns pointed at each other just for a street race, and he's like stroking the two guns, or he like prances and skips around place, or when he goes like Dom Toretto enchanté, like it is really fucking so funny. Good. But then he'll have these snap moments where his whole mantra, he says it throughout the movie, is like, suffering is the price you will pay that will lead up to your death. And he says like it really with these fucking devil, well, his name's Dante, so like these really devilish eyes. I think he's my favorite, to be 100% honest with you.
Cool. Pete?
I mean, yeah, and like, I was like, again, no bias, but yes. I mean, no, really, like
Pete has a very ulterior motive as to why Jason Momoa could be his favorite to me.
I mean, would I commit international crime if it meant Jason Momoa was going to punish me? Probably. But
you like, heard it here, Momoa.
Come punish me. You can call me Dommy all you want, but we all know that you'll be the Dommy in this situation. It's very few quote unquote villains have felt like they're actually genuinely going to cause any sort of damage or have any repercussions. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess Vin Diesel was the villain of the first film, if you think about it. Cole Hauser in the second, not a chance that he was ever going to, like, do anything that we'd be like, oh, no, don't do that. Like, number five, when Reyes, like, he was the first one that kind of felt dangerous. And then I guess this is just an extension of that. Like, yeah, he's the only one that I was watching this going, I feel like he could kill people and he's actually going to, like, properly kill them. You know, like, he puts a lot of people in danger, but as Nick said, like, but he has just so much fun with it. And yeah, and the scene with the corpses, I sort of came out and I said, in some ways, it's a very camp version of a certain scene in The House That Jack Built. If you've seen that film, okay, and you know about that film, and certain when there's certain children and the way that they're presented, yeah, that's kind of not far from this, really.
No, just very contextually different. Yeah.
But like, yeah, like he's a lot of people likened him to the Joker, and it makes perfect sense because he's just all about chaos. Yeah. And as you said, he's like, I don't want to kill you. He's like, that's too easy. I actually want you to suffer. And when he goes after certain people, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I believe that you're going to do this. So I'm very excited that we get him in 11. Well, I assume we're getting him in 11 as to where all of this is leading, because yeah, we won't spoil that, but we'll just say the last five minutes of this movie is pretty insane. Yeah.
And well, Vin's come out and said that it's
trilogy, right?
Yeah.
He said it's totally the first of a trilogy.
And we knew we were getting a two-parter anyway. Yeah. Like, that the whole point was that this was the first of two parts, and now Vin's obviously gone. We can do, I mean, as it's like me going to my employer and being like, they're like, you have 2 years on your contract. He's like, but it could be the start of three. You know what I mean? Like, it's just Vin being like, I could guarantee some cash if we
Depending on what the box office is.
Totally.
Is if it's going to be two or three.
Do you think it's, so you think it's going to be a $1 billion movie, Alistair? Do you
see when I left the cinema, I'm like, yeah, that's going to make $1 billion.
I thought the word of mouth is going to be pretty good for audiences.
But then if you look at everything that's coming out,
maybe it's got a lot to compete with.
I think because obviously, like, Fast 9 made like $700 million, and that was 2021. That was pandemic. Yeah. That was pretty great. But I think this has the potential to be a $1 billion movie. But as we said, like, Little Mermaid, The Flash,
Spider-Man across the Spider-Verse.
Like, there's the next 2 months, there's a shit ton of
Indiana Jones, like
Oppenheimer, Barbie,
like blockbuster movies that will potentially like really into this. So this has really, like, I mean, Little Mermaid's not, it's got to be more counter programming, really.
Totally.
Yep. And the Flash is probably its first like
real competition,
big competition. So it has, you know, I will say three or four weeks to, you know, really prove itself. But the funny thing is, like, so many of these Fast movies have actually underperformed in the States. Like, it hasn't made their budget back in the States.
No, it's always
all of it has been international. So yeah, if this makes $1 billion, it'll maybe be like, it might make
China and Japan love this series.
It might make $200 million in the States and then like $800 million worldwide. But because it made 200 in the States, that's technically a flop because this cost 340 on top of, but like, promotion and all that sort of shit. So constantly, this has got to, this has basically got to make $1 billion to be considered like even, which is ridiculous.
I don't know what your screening was like, but our screening was insane. Like, just all of the
the setup and stuff. Yeah, yeah. No, ours was pretty big too. Yeah, yeah.
Insane.
Yeah, we had the DJ. We had the bike set up out the front. We had free.
We had two media walls going, actually.
Yeah. You had the cocktails too in a can.
We just had beers and sparkling. Yeah.
And I remember, like, I walked in and, like, Nick and I both said, I was like, I don't like all these people that I'm seeing around.
A lot of influencers.
It's all influencers.
A lot of influencers.
But I will say, because there was security, none of them were on their phones in the screening. And I didn't hear anybody like talking.
I think we were the most receptive to the film.
Yeah.
There was actually, there was good laughs like in a lot of the moments where there was genuine jokes being made.
People reacted the way that they were meant to, but there was no like just people talking for the sake of talking, which made me go, huh, Is it because people are stupid that they need a movie like this to make them pay attention? I don't know.
I think you may have hit the nail on the head.
You may be onto something.
And I'm the only one that can hit the nail on the head because everybody else is stupid.
What a fun little film.
Final thoughts.
I just, this was a lot of fun. I had a grin from start to finish. It is bombastic, it's loud, it's ridiculous, but it feels like fun that the franchise has been missing a little bit, and dare I say it's probably since Paul Walker died. I'm not saying he was the most fun part, but I think there's definitely been, and I think a lot of this is probably, and this is all speculation, but I obviously think, obviously, it hurt Vin a lot, and he'd been wanting to make movies that he felt were, you know, both for Paul, from Paul, as he says in interviews and stuff. And I think they've taken a bit more of a serious tone, especially focusing on the family element, which I know has become a meme, but there seems to be a lot of sincerity behind it from Vin. But this is the first one I felt probably since number 5 and 6 that has focused more so on the fun of the franchise. And I think it definitely needed that. I'd be interested to know what Justin Lin's vision was and why they fell out in that regard. Because a lot of those movies that were incredibly fun before were Justin Lin's movies. He sort of, once new directors came in, it was a little bit like James Wan and F. Gary Gray and stuff. They were a little different. So I think this is a lot of fun. I think fans of Fast and Furious will obviously get a lot out of it because there's some great callbacks to earlier films, and it obviously, for me, it was exciting that it continued an already established story from number 5. It wasn't just jumping from mission to mission. Like, there was actually a bit more substance to it. Mm-hmm. But I also think, and Pete said this after the screening last night, this is probably a good re-entry for people who've fallen off a little bit. You can just come in, be like, it'll tell you what happened in number 5, what you need to know. You'll go on, you'll get an exposition scene. That's the whole series. And it's actually, you can really just enter the series at this point. And I think that's going to also work in its favor. So it's dumb, but it's a lot of fun.
Cool. Pete?
I concur. yeah, like it's just bombastically, fantastically, ridiculously stupid and fun. And most of the people know it. I think Ben thinks he's in a different movie than everybody else.
he's going for that Oscar, maybe.
But like the Rome sequence is like legitimately incredible.
Yeah.
There are some great, I think even though it did split up everybody, it kind of allowed some great dynamics to be had. Like John Cena working with the little kid was like fun to see, even though it's completely different for his character. It's fun to see him in that regard. I liked Michelle Rodriguez and Charlize Theron being brought together because it actually gave Charlize Theron something to do in this film. Cause every other film she's kind of been like pulling the strings. Here I was like able to see her beat the shit out of people, which is what we want to see Charlize Theron do.
Yeah.
And then just Momoa just sprinkled about, just doing his peacocking thing, flamboyant, sexy, dangerous. It was all the things you want. So I just, if you've had an issue with Fast and Furious, but you've stayed with it, there's no reason you won't like this. And if you like the other Fast and Furious movies, then you'll probably love this even more. So, yeah.
How about you, Alistair? What's your final thoughts?
Look, final thoughts. If you're going to see this, you're already fans of the others. You're not rocking up to Fast 10 going, oh, what's this about? So, look, intended audience will love. If you're an unfortunate plus one, just keep your eyes on Momoa and you'll be good.
his shirt's unbuttoned for most of the movie, so
most of the movie. You'll be fine. I think the one line from him I really liked was when he was talking to the dead corpses and commented about bringing the masculinity level down several notches.
We got to watch that these days.
Which, you know what? Which was great to see in this franchise because it is totally hyper masculine.
Actually, yeah. my favorite line in that scene is when he's talking about should we press this button and steal all their money? And he looks to one of the corpses and it's like, oh, you devil, you wouldn't. Okay, let's do it. Like he's really fun. So Momoa understood the assignment.
knew what movie he was in. It's unfortunate, as we've all said, that Vin Diesel did not. So that is Fast X. It is in cinemas now. Drop us a comment below. Let us know what you thought. Guys, really quickly before we go, you know what I'm going to ask. Pete, when's the mustache coming back?
It won't take very long, trust me. This was already shaved yesterday, so this is going to come back.
Oh, wow. Right.
Yeah.
Also, what's essential for you this week?
What is essential?
Apart from your facial hair growing.
Coming back. How about I just say, after Fast 10, skip Jason Momoa more roles, because my God, he is charismatic as fuck. And I mean, look, we know that he's got Aquaman and he's got a few other things lined up, but I think this is like, I think it's great that people who might think of him in a certain way will see this and just go, oh, he's like genuinely funny, and he's able to have this loud personality that I think maybe people that have only seen him in Aquaman or Game of Thrones or C might sort of just go, oh, he seems quite like serious. I was like, no, he's actually like, yeah, really just a loose cannon. So I think it's so, you know, essential. Fucking start following him on Instagram, because my God, he gives the world exactly what it needs. We're talking cakes, people. Human cakes just all over the place, because he has clearly no shame, which I love. And then you should just go see Fast 10. That's what's essential. Go see Fast 10.
Nick, what about you?
I also have a movie that's essential this week, and it was a rainy weekend here in Brisbane, Queensland. This weekend just gone. It was nice. It was rainy. It was overcast, and it was just a good little Sunday to settle in and watch some movies. And we watched in our household Paddington 2.
Oh,
and that movie could make the most angriest of men happy. Because, not saying that was me, I'm just saying that is just the effect this movie had. It is the sweetest, most charming movie. It is hilarious. It is completely heartwarming. Paddington is the most adorable little fucker in the world. And the fact that Paddington spends...
I love the adorable little fucker.
Yeah, adorable little fucker.
I don't think anyone's ever described Paddington as an adorable little fucker.
You'll see that on the Paddington 3. When I get pool quoted to Paddington 3, the most adorable, fucker in cinema. Let's not forget that in Paddington 2, minor spoilers if you haven't seen it, he spends half the movie in prison. And if you want to find out how, watch the film. But then the scenes with Brendan Gleeson and the other prison, like, it is just... The movie's great. Hugh Grant,
yeah,
I believe that was the start of his sort of his camp era, and he is so playing this like multiple personality actor is so goddamn funny. So if you need a little bit of, if you need a pick me up, Paddington and Paddington 2 will absolutely do it for you. They are just the most innocently fun movies with some good little risque jokes in there too. There's some really funny, slightly crude humor, especially in Paddington 2. So that is my essential for this week. How about you, Alistair? What have you got for us?
Mine's also on the comedy line. So the other two is a show that I've talked about before, yeah, and I've been campaigning for Australia to finally get. It is here. It is on Binge, and season 3 has just started. Every season just tends to get more out there, more crazy. This season, we're poking fun at Ellen.
Oh, very nice. Very
among
nice.
Other things, it's such a great show. If you love filthy humor, there is a ton of gay sex in season 3. That's just unexpected and hilarious. It stars Molly Shannon, is probably the person that you will know. And yeah, a lot of people from Saturday Night Live. I'm not across the latest cast, so they're funny.
They're there.
And Wanda Sykes has joined this season too. And it's just such a riot, such a joy. That is the other two. Check it out now on Binge.
Also, for everybody who like thirsted after Josh Segarra in Scream 6, he is in the other two as well.
He is, and he has sex scenes.
Is that a sexy?
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. I don't know how to segue to an outro from that, apart from thanks for listening. See you next week.
Speeding out of that one.
Speaking of sexy, bye!